This is Report to Wyoming.
So I'm Dawn Lacko, Executive Director at NowCap Services. I'm relatively new to the position, but I have worked with NowCap for years in one capacity or another, either there or as a case manager for some of their participants there.
And for people who have never heard of NowCap, what is it?
So NowCap Services, our mission is to create opportunities for all people with disabilities. We were started in 1985 as one of the regional service providers to provide community-based services to people with disabilities. So this was when the Wyoming, it used to be called the Wyoming State Training School, was deinstitutionalizing the people who lived there. They had to be given the opportunity to move into a community setting rather than being institutionalized just because they had a disability. So we've been doing those services since 1985. In that time period since, to meet our mission, we have expanded into, we have some HUD properties that we own, so we provide low-income housing to people. And we also have our business development side, which does janitorial services. We have federal contracts, we have private contracts, we have state contracts, but we employ people with disabilities there. So it's really hard for people with disabilities to get and keep employment. It's just hard. And you might need accommodations like I have to go to a doctor's appointments on a regular basis, or I can only work so many hours so I don't lose my Social Security. You know, there are different kinds of accommodations that need to be made, and we're happy to do that. So these contracts that we have, 75% of the hours worked are worked by people with significant disabilities. So it's, you know, it is a really important place for people to be able to get employment if they have disabilities. We have one opening right now, but we are always working on getting new contracts so that we can offer employment to more people.
And so what kind of disabilities do you guys accept for this program?
So the Medicaid waivers, on the home and community-based waiver side where we're providing home and community-based services, those waivers serve people with developmental disabilities or with acquired brain injuries. The developmental disability could be cerebral palsy. It doesn't have to be an intellectual disability, a severe seizure disorder that truly affects a person's ability to live independently. There are different ways you could be developmentally disabled. And then acquired brain injury is a brain injury that would have occurred after the age of 21. If it had occurred before 21, it's considered developmental, if that makes sense. Then for the employment side, the business development side, those janitorial crews, if your doctor says, hey, your medical condition means that you can't work full-time hours, that could be a disability that would qualify you to be a disabled worker with us. It's really just, you know, if you have a condition, whether it's mental health, physical, intellectual disability, brain injury, if you have some condition that is preventing you from holding down, I'm finger quoting on the radio, normal full-time employment, that could be, if your doctor writes a letter, that could be a reason that a person would be considered disabled. Honestly, if you can't keep a job because you need something that employers keep thinking is too much, which I don't agree with at all. I think employers need to work harder. It's hard to get employment or it's hard to get employees right now. And maybe employers need to open their minds a little more to hiring people with disabilities, which might mean carving out time, carving out job duties. You know, this person only does this piece of that job, but they do it every day, you know. So if you have rolled through employment and been frustrated with being able to keep employment, you should definitely contact us because we might be a place that we understand that. It's okay with us. We're going to work with people who get frustrated on the job. We're going to work with people who need a mental health day. You know, that's what we're there for.
How many participants does NowCap work with?
NowCap has 43 people in our home and community-based services program in Casper and Rock Springs. We have a program in Rock Springs as well. And then I don't know how many people we employ on the business development side.
So is everyone employable, would you argue? Or are there some participants who might not benefit from having that added task on their plate already?
I would say if someone wants to work, then everyone's employable, or they can volunteer. Everyone should have something meaningful to do with their day. Even when you are older and retired, if you don't have anything to do with your day, you're miserable, right? You're lonely and sad. And
true, yeah.
So meaningful activity is, everyone should have meaningful activity. And we believe that so if somebody doesn't necessarily want to work, then maybe it's volunteering, or maybe it's, you know, we go up and pet the animals at the Humane Society, not necessarily walking them and volunteering, but just, you know, interacting with animals. I mean, there's something meaningful in everybody's life that you can tap into and help them do so that they feel engaged with their community.
Wow. So it can be a real win-win, because for the community, they're such a valuable piece of what keeps everything kind of afloat, the little things, right? Do you ever find it challenging?
Situations are challenging. I was a case manager for years, so I'm the queen of a meeting. We'll fix that. Let's get all the players in the same room and discuss a problem. And, you know, so I'm kind of a big believer in problems can be solved, or we figure out a way to eliminate that issue. People can be hard. Systems are hard. We have federal contracts. It's tough to deal with the federal government. They have very high expectations, and lots of them. We work with the Department of Health. They have very high expectations. We are CARF certified, C-A-R-F. CARF certification is difficult. Nonprofits everywhere face this. Everybody looks at what we do, and we have to meet everybody's standards. So that piece is hard. Working with individuals, not so much, as long as you're willing to do it, right? As long as you're willing to take the time to say, hey, we have this problem. Can we get a few people around the table and fix it? Which is something I would throw out again to private employers. If you hire someone with a disability, there's usually some people you could call together and say, hey, I'm having this problem. But if you hire Joe Schmo, you know, without a disability, and you're having ongoing issues with them, well, you let them go. But you might be able to solve a problem because there's a team of people who have a vested interest in making employment work.
Now, in all of your years of doing this, have you found that some disabilities are more suited towards particular jobs than maybe others, or that could even be a superpower to a certain job?
I think maybe there's certain personality types or attitudes. At one point in time, I had worked with a gentleman who had autism, and he was nonverbal, but he could take apart a computer like nobody's business, right? Like he take apart. And so he worked with e-recycling when that was in town. You found that skill that he was really good at, which quite frankly could drive certain people crazy, like his guardians when he would take things apart. But, you know.
Right. So, yeah, it's finding something that
directing
is meaningful for all parties.
Yeah, directing that to a useful skill at work. There are people who, would be great greeters because they always have a smile and they're friendly. There are people who, once they learn a skill, say it's folding boxes at a pizza joint, as an example. Once they learn a skill, they can do it, and they will continue to do it for years. You know, you've got a stable, long-term employee. That's called job carving. And that's where public employers really need to open up their minds a little bit. They can get some people in to carve out a piece of rolling silverware for your waitresses. You know, it may seem odd to hire someone just to do one piece of a job, but when that is always taken care of, your waitresses maybe are happier. Maybe you have less turnover. Maybe they do a better job and your customer service is better. You need to kind of think outside that box. So with our employment stuff, we will look at what a person's skills are, really focus in there, and then try to teach them the rest of the jobs, you know. So-and-so is really great at vacuuming floors. And he's a vacuuming god, right?
Love that.
Yeah. So we're
not.
Yeah, exactly. Looking for that in my home. So they do all the vacuuming, but we're still going to try and teach the rest of the skills, taking out the trash, the bathrooms, you know, the importance of being able to do the whole job. We'll keep trying to teach the rest of it. But that doesn't mean that we let them go because they couldn't learn the rest of it. You know, we're going to keep people around and keep working with them to try and make the employment work.
I'm wondering, did they take quite a bit of pride in what they do?
Absolutely. The people who have the jobs like the jobs, feel safe in the jobs. You know, you're not, I worked with one woman who had, you know, a great job prepping food. And she was let go because the management changed and the new manager came in and went, we don't need someone to just do this piece, and let her go. So she had been let go a few times and she was burned and she's afraid to try. So she feels safe in this job. You know, if something goes wrong, we're going to work it out. We're not going to let you go because you're inconvenient. We're going to figure it out and bring out your skills and let you, you know, shine, let you do what you do well. So yeah, there's this little safety feeling in the jobs and, they're all happy. I mean, you know, everybody has a bad day, but for the most part, they're happy with their employment, their jobs, and it pays well. You know, we don't pay sub minimum wage, and the federal minimum wage just went up to $15 an hour. These are good paying jobs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's ever a stigma around, maybe particularly in Wyoming, around hiring people with disabilities?
I don't know if it's particular to Wyoming.
Okay.
I think it is. It's a population that's hard to find employment for. It just is. It's probably getting a little better. I think in the schools, the integration in schools of people with disabilities in regular classrooms. People aren't scary or different if you see it all the time, right? So I think that the federal government's been really good about the program we have our federal contracts through is called Ability One, and it's a federal program specifically for employment for people with disabilities. They also have a blind program specifically for people with blindness to find employment. So the federal government's really good about that. And the rest of the community, as they see it more, as it becomes more comfortable, it gets better, you know. And I think that has really started with the schools. When children grow up not feeling afraid of someone who's different from them, then they go out into the working world and become managers or hiring people and can not be afraid to take a chance on someone.
Now, do you organize the jobs with local employers, or is that kind of the government?
So we are trying to find more independent contracts, more just private contracts right now. The federal contracts, we work with an agency called Source America, which is under the Ability One program. To get those federal contracts going. Right now, we clean the Cheney Federal Building, the Kerr Federal Courthouse, and the FAA buildings. Not the airport, but the tower and the buildings that the FAA uses, both here and in Cheyenne. We do some cleaning. We do the campgrounds for BLM and Game and Fish. So I think Game and Fish is access areas. We're happy to take on any new contract. If it's a federal contract, it can be a direct federal contract, or they can go through the Ability One program. Either way, we would certainly talk to anyone about that if they were curious. Source America does a fantastic job with the federal contracts of talking to people about what that looks like, what it means, you know, how important it is.
And why do you think it's so important that these opportunities are available for everyone?
I'm going to circle back to the meaningful activity in your life.
Okay.
You know, a reason to feel engaged, part of your community, like you are giving. people need that. You need to feel useful and engaged. There's a really high rate of depression after retirement. We have this new program in the works that I'm hoping for funding for, but would address that kind of depression in the elderly. It's you lose that. And if you don't have some really strong community activities that you're already doing, volunteering, or, you know, you're a member of the book club, or, you know, if you just retire and sit at home and work on your lawn, that can be rough.
What ages or what age range do you see?
We can serve children. We currently don't have any children, but if somebody were to, you know, look for services for someone who is, say, 18, we would totally be open to that. We don't currently have any kind of specific program for children, so I would say 18 and up. In our home and community-based waiver services, we have one person who's 90. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So we have the entire age range from 18 to 90. We have an apartment building that NowCap owns. So this is something that I think is really unique to us. The apartment building is secured, so you have to have a key to get in, and it's staffed. There's even a staff person there awake overnight. So people can live there and learn skills, develop skills. And I think that is going to be really important for kids aging out of the school district. If you are not yet ready to live on your own, you don't need a group home. You know, you're not at that level of needing group home level of care. You kind of want to go out on your own, but maybe mom and dad are like, well, we're not sure you're ready. The apartment complex is a great place for people to develop their skills to live independently in a safe place. You know, everyone there is receiving services, so it doesn't feel weird. And again, the door's locked. There's staff available. During the day, the staff are taking people to medical appointments and monitoring meds and helping with cooking and cleaning and taking them to do fun stuff. So there might not always be a staff person on site, but then each participant has a phone number they can call to get help immediately if they need it. So it's fun. It's a fun place to be.
It sounds like maybe there's like a little sense of community too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's such a big part of that kind of wellness. And what kind of skills can you get more specific about what you're teaching life skill wise?
So medication management can be a big one. Remembering to take your meds, remembering to order your meds. If someone needs to take medications, that can be a big one. So we have some people who they do their medications themselves, but then the staff are going to pop in and go, okay, did we do our meds? You know, just make sure it was done. Sure. And then other people are learning maybe just about their meds, what they are, what side effects are, you know, things that you maybe don't think about for yourself because you just do it automatically. So learning about their health conditions, healthy eating. Is soda good for you? No.
Or we not, all need a little help there.
You know, moderation with soda, those kinds of things. And then cleaning your apartment. That's a huge one. I mean, you know, especially at the apartment complex. But even in our group homes, each person who lives there is helping out with chores. You know, we're always trying to teach new skills, learn, you know, develop new abilities. If you're not changing and growing, you're just existing, and that's no fun. So we want people to be changing and growing, trying some new activities, developing those fun social skills, social activities. That's a big piece of it, you know. Finding the things you like to do. Do you like to go to the library? Do you like to go to movies? You know, and then building a life around the things you like to do, plus taking care of business, laundry, dishes, cleaning the house, taking care of your health, all of those things. And there's a lot at the apartment complex of interpersonal skill training. And that occurs, you know, naturally when we get frustrated at our neighbor or our friend, you know. So the staff there are amazing. I got to give them a huge shout out at helping people to diffuse a situation, and then we talk about it. We sit down with that person and we say, hey, it hurt my feelings when you said this. So that a lot of that is occurring as well. Those interpersonal skill education, you know, and training.
I'm thinking about the financial assistance that some people might need, especially with an income. What kind of financial services do you guys provide? Are you on the Dave Ramsey program? I am on the Dave Ramsey. I needed something like that, like a very black and white, this is what we're doing.
We have a representative payee who is a staff person. She's fabulous. And so if a person has Social Security and Social Security says you can't, well, Social Security would rely on a doctor to say this person can't manage their finances independently. Social Security requires they get a representative payee. So that person manages their money. But we don't just pay the bills. We are working with our people to learn how to budget their money themselves. So they'll come in and set up a budget with the payee. They might work with their staff in the apartments and with the payee about budgeting. They might write their own checks. The payee's keeping the checkbook to make sure those bills are paid first. But then they come in and they pay the bills and they write their own spending money checks, and they can spend their spending money any way they want. We're not going to dictate how a person spends their fund money, but a payee is in place to make sure that rent was paid, medical bills are paid, those kinds of things. So there is, absolutely a lot of learning about budgeting and, you know, and that happens forever, right? Honestly, I just had to make a budget the other day at home. Where's all my money?
It's not simple.
Yeah.
And then thinking ahead and retirement and how do we want to invest and those kind of decisions or maybe long-term purchases. I'm wondering, did some of them probably drive? Right?
Yes, we have a few people who drive, especially on the business development side. There are people there who drive.
Okay.
So, yeah, car repairs, gasoline, those kinds of things.
Wow. One thing that's been on my mind as we've just been chatting is where does your passion for this, your job, come from? It's very obvious, by the way. You can't see her, but she's smiling and she's just so excited to tell me all about this program.
Okay. I started working at NowCap the first time in the late 90s, mid-90s, shortly after I got my degree in biology, which made no sense. And I actually tried to get out of human services a couple times and do something that you know, I appraised real estate for a while. It was a family business, got into that. And I kept getting pulled back in. I think I was meant for this kind of work. And a lot of the people who work at NowCap or in other agencies, nonprofits, you know when you're in the right place, you can feel it. You're meant for it. You were meant to help people. You were meant to support people. You know, you could probably talk to anyone in a nonprofit and get kind of the same feeling and enthusiasm for it. It's a calling and so rewarding. You know, it really is. When you can be there for someone through thick and thin, they care about us too. And when something goes wrong, they'll step up and be, do you need a hug? You know, so it goes both ways. It's not a one way just giving. It's giving and receiving. And when you're working with people who are giving and receiving and helping each other out, that's the best of humanity as far as I'm concerned. So it's impactful work. And we do have open positions.
Oh, yes.
Gotta slip that in.
Yeah, that's important. What's your vision for the future of NowCap?
We would very much like to get into serving a different population in a different way, but it's still home and community-based. It's still in people's homes. So we have applied for a grant from the state. I don't know how much people are interested in the details of it, but it's focusing greatly on helping older and disabled people who are living in their own homes address depression. It's not just post-COVID. Depression was a problem or an issue for people with disabilities, people who feel socially isolated, and, you know, the elderly who maybe can't get out as much. They can no longer go to church without help, and somebody didn't pick them up this week. You know, those kinds of things lead to depression. And so COVID exacerbated that a lot. So we are trying to get a program off the ground to address that in the populations of people who feel socially isolated, because you could be socially isolated right in the middle of Casper. But we also have so much rural community around us. So that's where we're hoping to expand to help address that. It is an issue. We have found a program that is research-based, evidence-based, absolutely helps people, but without making you agree to go to counseling. You might get to that point, but it's really just someone coming into your home and then saying, hey, what could we do? You know, what would be fun for you? What are your, you know, what things did you used to love to do? Is there a piece of that we could incorporate back into your life? And having some real conversations about how we pull ourselves out of depression. And so, fingers crossed, we get some funding to get that program off the ground. We just need some money to get it going. And I think it'll be really impactful. And, you know, again, opportunities for all people with disabilities. If you live long enough, you will have a disability, right? The vision, hearing, arthritis. Usually it happens slowly. I used to be the executive director at Brain Injury Advocates of Wyoming, and there we would talk about a brain injury is your disability happens suddenly. And that's what's so shocking about it. It's not developmental. You didn't grow up this way. You know, it's a sudden change. And sometimes that can happen with aging, but often it creeps up. You know, and so you can kind of get used to it, but at some point it starts maybe isolating you. So we're still talking about people with disabilities. It's maybe just not, you know, it's just the aging process. And depression can lead to physical health problems for sure. I mean, that's proven. So the process would hopefully help improve people's physical health as well as their mental health.
Can you just give me a glimpse of what someone working for NowCAP Services does, a day in the life of one of your employees?
So our staff would arrive on shift and they would check who's got medical appointments, you know, what is the plan for the day. Typically, they know coming in from the day before, but they're going to double check that nothing changed. We have an individual who's in charge of managing all medical appointments and med changes, and she is a fabulous communicator, very detail oriented. And so you would just, you know, log into our system and check and see what are the appointments. Are there any med changes I need to be aware of? Did somebody get on an antibiotic? You know, went to the doctor yesterday, those kinds of things. And then touch and base with the people you work with. So it's their home and you're working with them. If it's a group home, you're creating a home environment with them. If it's at the apartment complex, you're just checking in on them in their apartments. The staff have their own office separate from the apartments. So you're checking in with their participants. How are they feeling today? How are they looking? You know, not everyone is verbal. So it's how are they behaving and looking? Are they eating? You know, you might talk to the shift before. They're going to say, hey, so-and-so didn't eat breakfast. I don't know what's going on. Keep an eye on that, you know. And so the staff are going to prepare meals. They're going to help people with dressing, bathing, brushing their teeth. If they need that level of help, they'll help them do those things. And then they're going to come up with something fun to do for the day. So, you know, are we going to do a craft? Crafts are big, especially during COVID when outings came to a complete halt. Are we going to go to a movie? Should we plan a movie for next week? What do we want to do? Right now they're doing Halloween crafts. Decorating the house for Halloween, buying costumes for the Halloween parties, you know. So around the holidays, you're just going to, just like the rest of us, shift your theme, get out, put away the Halloween decorations and get out the Thanksgiving decorations and start doing crafts. And so they're going to talk to people. If someone's having a bad day, you are the listening ear. You are the, I assist you with problem solving or how to handle this feeling you're having. If people are having a great day, then you're going to celebrate that. Everybody goes outside and, you know, does stretching. We have a staff person who implemented morning stretches for people in their wheelchairs. They go outside and they do their morning stretching. It's glorious. Lovely. I'm like, I wish I could remember to do that.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.